I'm just thankful I can be back this evening. Just thankful that I know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. He didn't have to save me, but I sure am glad he did when I called on him. He didn't turn me away. So many times I've failed him, I've turned him away. And I'm sorry for that tonight. But tonight, if anyone wants just to stand up and brag on the Lord, I think it would be good tonight for the people just to stand up and thank the Lord for what he's done for them. And done for the families and different things. And we just need to brag on the Lord. Good. If not, turn to chapter 20 in the book of John and start reading from verse 19 down through 31. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Thank the Lord for his many blessings on my life, and I want to thank the Lord for really dealing with me about this church to where I could really hear his voice, if that's where this is where he wanted me to be. And I believe in my soul that this is where I need to be. And I thank each and every one of you for putting up with me and I just don't know what I would do if something happened. And I couldn't stand and preach, and I couldn't go out and witness anymore. I don't know what I'd do. But I know the Lord has plenty for us to do. One individual can't do it all. Two individuals can't do it all. Three or four can't do it all. One church can't do it all. It takes all the Christians together. If they don't talk, they don't backbite, but they come in unity, one with another, because of what he's done for us. And we need to, but I do thank him. But here in John chapter 20, in verse 19 it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, said Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believeth ye might have life through his name. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can open the book, Father. And Father, we're so thankful that you have touched the lips that we can be able to read your word. Now, Father, as the words has been read, we pray, Father, that you will bless it. And Father, that your word will go out, Father, and it will not return void. It will go out and do what it intended for it to do, touching hearts and touching lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. John chapter 20 and verse 24 says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. We know that Judas wasn't there. We know now that it wasn't but 10 disciples there in the upper room because Thomas wasn't there. There was 10 disciples there, and they was discussing what we must do. They was discussing on where to go. They was discussing not only what to do and where to go, but who to follow. Because they did not have no one at that time to follow. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had hung on the cross and he had been buried and risen again. And this time he was in there, he was in heaven. But when he went and when he got there to heaven, we see it was a few days later that he returned to earth. Why did he return to earth? Because the Father in heaven knew that the disciples that had been following the Lord down through the journey, down through the from city to city, going on the hillsides and different places, that the Lord knew that the disciples was distraught. They didn't know what to do. That's the same way without a church that doesn't have an under shepherd. That where the church has, maybe the under shepherd has left the church or has passed away or whatever. But the church is at limbo, and they don't know what to do. They're trying to find their own way. And that's what the disciples was trying to do here. They was trying to find their own way. They was trying to find out what and how they could go out and do what needed to be done. It says right here, it says that in the churches, Jesus has never recognized or permitted to reveal himself. We have churches today that's around Danville in Pennsylvania County that they would not even know if Jesus Christ showed up through the Spirit of God. They would not even recognize the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in coming in and touching the people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has been left out. It's been locked outside of the church doors. Not only has the Holy Spirit been left outside, but His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been locked outside. There Revelation chapter 3. And Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He's outside of the church doors today. He's knocking. He's wanting to come in to the services. He's wanting to come in to where He can meet with His people. But they say, "No, we don't need you. We don't want you here. We got our little old thing going. And we just as happy and content in what we're doing now." But it says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We must be tuned in with God. How do we get tuned in with God? Through His Word. Through getting in and reading His Word, because that's the only time that God will speak to us as individuals. It's when we're in His Word and when we're reading His Word, He will speak to our hearts. He will speak to our souls. But then the only way that we can speak to God, where God will hear us, is through prayer. Now, we don't have to have no fancy prayer. You don't have to have no fancy prayer. You don't have to have all these great, big, long words and everything. like a whole lot of theologians have when they're praying. They're praying and they're using all them big words when they could use just an old simple word, a four-letter, a five-letter, a six-letter word that means the same thing. But a whole lot of them, they do it out of show. They do it out of, I need to be recognized. I don't need to be recognized. I don't need people to see me. I need them to see Jesus Christ through me. I don't need people to look at me and say, well, Donnie, that's great preaching. Don't look to me and don't tell me that was some great preaching or there's a good message or something like that. No, you just thank God it was a good message because it come through Him. I cannot do nothing without God. You cannot do nothing without God. You cannot get up in the morning without Him. You can't even be able to go in the kitchen and even fix your cup of coffee without Him. Because it's going to take Him to give you the strength to be able to get up out of the bed in the morning. Now, there's a miracle right there when He opens our eyes and when we can breathe the breath of fresh air. That's a miracle. And then another miracle will come about to where we can see what we're about to do. That's a miracle. There's all kinds of different miracles that God has out there for us. God has miracles of what's in our hands, that what we touch. He has a miracle for each one of us that He must touch our legs each and every day, that we can go about doing what He's asked us to do, incurring His word. I try, if not every morning, I try sometime during that day that I'll pray and I'll say, thank God for my strength. Because it takes strength to be able to get up and do. Then I thank God for my hands that I can take and be able to handle the Word of God. That I can be able to pick it up. And then I thank God for this little finite mind that I have, that is so small, it can't comprehend anything. But I thank God for what little mind I do have. It can comprehend something. Thank God that He's touched my eyesight the way I can pick up the Bible and I can read His precious Word. And Brother Charlie, I'm not saying this morning to diminish you or nothing like that, but I'm saying this. We all have a blessing from God each and every day. And God has blessed each one of us. I've never in my life seen And I'm going to say something here, and I'm not picking on just one individual, nothing like that. But I remember the first time that Brother Charlie come. He come by himself. As he left that day, he told me, he said, I'll be back. Came back. Then it wasn't but a few weeks later or something like that, we was having a hot dog supper. Hot dog up here on Friday afternoon. I mean, give me a word straight. Sunday afternoon. Saturday afternoon. Where was he at? Was he at home? Was he at home because his eyesight had got dim? No. Was he at home and said, oh, pity me? No. You know where he was at? He'd come up here. I don't want to go up here. He said that before
We even went on that particular day to go out. Now, bless Pat now. I mean, some people may say he's handicapped. He might even say he's handicapped. I don't. I don't look at him as being handicapped. But I'll tell you one thing. He was in that automobile, and he had the flyers, and we had some flyers, and I had some, and Bill had some. We split them all up. Then the next thing I knew, the very first place we pulled up, guess who was there to call first? Brother Charlie. He was there to call first. Why? Because he wanted to do something for the Lord. Then we went to a service station, a little convenience market there, and he said, I'll get this. And so he walked on the inside and everything. And I really didn't know if they'd give us, they didn't put one up or not, because they'd refused me once before, putting up a revival notice. He went in there, and he asked, could he put one up? I said, sure. He goes and he puts one up on the door. And he comes on back out to the car. I think he's going to get ready to get in the car. No, when he come on back out to the car and everything, there was two cars that pulled on the lot, pulled up the gas pump, was getting ready to pump some gas. And guess what? He didn't get back in the car. He went straight over to them. Gave them a fly. We can be taught here today by that. If we all would just do that, just do that.
And Brother Charlie, I'm gonna tell you, brother, you have been a blessing to me. Not because of your handicap, but because I see your love for the Lord. And I really have sensed His love for the Lord. So when you leave tomorrow, next Saturday, you make sure you come on in. Because the next week, we got some things we'll get to start doing. We got to get out. We got to start visiting more. I know we haven't here lately because of what's going on in the church. Thank God for what's going on in the church, because that's of God. It's not of me. It's not of you. It's not of no one individual. But all of this is because of God. Because the people love God. That's the reason they do what they do, is because they love God. They love the house of God. But we also seen in verse 19 where Thomas here, he went among the disciples there. He had forgot about some things that he was going to miss. You know what he missed? He missed the sweet, sweet fellowship amongst his other brothers with the other disciples. We go on down and read in verse 2, and in the latter part of verse 19, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. That's a prayer from God. Peace be unto you. We also see right here in verse 20, it says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When they saw the Lord, Jesus Christ. They were so happy. Because they said within their own heart, I believe, and it doesn't say, but I believe they said it within their own heart, now, we got somebody now that can help us. We got some now that can, we can follow once again. But that wasn't the reason he come back. He come back, the reason he did come back from heaven is because the Father had told his Son Jesus that you need to go back and you need to tell your disciples that they have not learned anything from you. And they haven't. Because if they had learned anything at all from the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't have be having a pity me party at that time. Because they could not do anything. Thomas missed seeing exactly what he needed. He wasn't there. He was discouraged, but he needed to be strengthened. But he wasn't there. So he couldn't be strengthened. Verse 21, it says, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. This event could never be completely recalled again. This could be why we hear almost nothing else from Thomas. There's little else said about Thomas after these verses, but one, I think it's one other time, and I think it's in the 21st chapter, and then over in the book of Acts, chapter 1 or 2 there, he's mentioned, but that's it. That's it. I mean, he didn't even see him when he came back, and when he come back, and he stood up, opened the door, which the door was locked and everything, which it didn't make no difference with Jesus, because he just walked through the wall to make himself present. And when he made himself present, they knew that that was Jesus. We as individuals, we as this church, we need to allow and we need to ask and we need to pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will make His presence known in each and every service. He is welcome here. Matter of fact, He should be the number one individual here in this place first. Before anybody else. But when the first individual walks in these doors, if they're saved, they bring themselves in, they bring God the Father in, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son. And we must invite Him in. We must invite Him in to all His services. Why? So He can walk up and down the aisle and touch hearts. And if you're scared or if you're afraid that I might mention something about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and you say, well, preacher, don't mention anything about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, because I get a little nervous around it when you do. I mean, I've been in churches and literally, I mean, after the church, after the service and everything, I've had the deacons in the church to come up and tell me, says, come back tonight, don't bring up the Holy Spirit. Because some people in here gets nervous when anything at all is mentioned by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost.
I said, well, they need to be nervous. Because if they don't have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost living within this heart and soul, and then they must be dying and going to hell. They must be nervous. They need to be nervous. We need to get back to preaching, thus says the word of the living God, that there is a hell. There is literally a hell. If there's a heaven that which we believe in, there's just as much as a hell. And as long as we stay with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity, and that's forever. How long is forever? It's forever. How long is it forever? It's forever. How long is forever? For eternity. How long is for eternity? It means eternity. It means we're going to always be with God. Once they're not saved, that's how long they're going to be with Satan. That's as long as they're going to be right there in hell. They're going to try to take their own lives, and they're not going to be able to do it.
There's going to be people out here after the rapture. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, they're going to wish they had listened. They're going to wish that they had never rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Thomas, right, this is basically, he didn't really reject him. But I believe Thomas was saved. It's basically about the same thing. People, they get, what happens to people when they first get hurt? Get hurt in church or by another Christian or whatever, they get out of church, right? And what do? They blame God. They want to blame God for this. They want to blame God for that. No, we can't blame God for anything. God was just trying to get our attention and we wouldn't listen. We wouldn't have let him to have our attention. And we must remember that we always must remember this. That we don't know what goes on within another individual's life. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what kind of problems they got. And if we had probably had the same problems that they have, we would probably end up being worse than what they are. But we got to remember, they have got problems. We've got problems. Hey, I've got problems. Every one of us has got problems. And we need to face up to it that we all got problems, but yet we can all be a help to one another. And I'm not talking about to help to one another about, well, I can come to you and share my problem with you. Or I can come and share it with you. Or I can come and share it with you. No. What we must do, we must come and ask the people to pray for us. Hey, I mean, if we can't ask another brother or sister in Christ to pray for us, if something is wrong with us, we must think that we are too good for another Christian to pray for. You ain't got nobody to pray for.
don't never think you're too good where you can't pray for me. We can pray for one another. We need to pray for one for another. That's the only thing that we have today to grasp onto is one another's prayer. And that's the only way the church is going to survive is through prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ, what did He tell Simon Peter over there in chapter 22? What did He say? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself says, He's talking to Simon Peter. He says, Simon, I'm praying for you. What He's really saying is, I'm praying for you if nobody else. I'm going to be praying for you. Did you know that Jesus Christ is praying for you? Did you? He is. That's what the Bible says. He prays for us. Prays for us daily. And He takes care of us. He takes care of all of our cares. He takes care of our wants. He takes care of our needs. Some of the things that we want, we don't need them. Yeah, I want them. I'd love to be driving a pickup truck. Don't have to be new. It can be an old one. See, that's my want. I don't need it. I don't need it. Because the car right there and the other car with right at 150,000 miles on, and that right there with a right at 100,000 miles on, it can get me just as anywhere I want to go. Or I may have a problem with it sometime. It may break down on me. But that's the reason they got mechanics out here. They have to make a living too. They have to make a living too. But Thomas, and in the last part of the verse 20, I'm going to close with this. Chapter 20 and verse 29. I'd like for all of you to look at this one verse. And when you look at it, you read it, and not only just read it, but you reread it tonight, tomorrow, next day, just keep rereading it. Says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Goes back up to verse 27, and because the reason he's saying this to Thomas is because of what Thomas done in verse 27. He put his finger into the nail-scarred hand. And he put his hand through his side. And then he said, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But I love the next verse. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know who he's speaking to right there? Us.
I've never seen Jesus Christ. I don't know what he looked like, and he's not new. I mean, the pictures that they got of him, the drawings they got on him, and the drawings they may have on him, and the cathedral and everything. That's not the actual picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see, and the reason I say that, because in what pictures I've seen, him in his foot, the full figure of him, and then the others just from his waist up, you don't see no scars on his forehead. And you cannot see no nail-scarred hand. And you cannot see no nail-scarred feet when he's walking around, when he's just walking, just looking. And they do not even the one even shows his body there, where he's hung on the cross. Now when he's come down from the cross, they don't even depict him the way he is. You know, the only way that we gonna recognize who he is? How many of you believe that we're gonna have the glorified body when we liken unto his when we get to heaven? Except for one difference. His is going to have the scars on it to remind us what he done for. Scars that we put there. We put them out. I put him out. You put them there. You said, well, preacher, how did I put them there? That was over 2,000 years ago. He died for the sins of the world. He died for all. So the human race put the scars on. Why? Because they turned it back on. The Jewish people turned their back on him. They still turning their back on him today. But yet they're his chosen people. You say, well, how can it be? How can they be? How can they be his chosen people when they have turned their back on him? He says it, I believe it. I can't argue with nobody about it. I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. They can say this. They can say that. I don't know. The only thing I can say is what I believe. And I believe he said it. That's the end of the discussion. I cannot put nothing else to it. But blessed is a man that believes but have not yet seen. That right there is a blessing in itself. I'm thinking about it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father God, we ask now that you'll just be with the remainder of the service. Father, touch the hearts of the people. And Lord Jesus, we just pray, Father, that you will do the work that needs to be done. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And Father, if I'm anywhere at all hindering the work, I pray, Father God, that you just move me out of the way, Lord. And Father, we just ask, Lord Jesus, for you to save that soul. that's closest to eternity. Wherever they may be at tonight, home, shopping, or in church tonight, we pray for the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Page 247, Jesus is calling. 247.